I recently watched a new version of, well, it's not, it's an old movie. It's called Apocalypse Now. I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah, I got the DVD.
Have you seen the Redux from 2001 of Apocalypse Now?
Oh, yeah.
So you saw the extra 44 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't until just like last week. I had not seen this movie. And the reason why I bring it up is because it ties into something we said earlier about the Soviet-style approach to rewriting history and unwriting history and changing things and, you know, just like retelling events after the fact in such a way that you can almost like casually say it and it goes right under the radar. But if you had come out, you know, at the time, it would have been like an explosive thing. And somehow it's able after, you know, 40 years or whatever, 30 years, as the case may be, to say the same thing. And it's like tacitly accepted. And one little example is in this movie, Apocalypse Now, for example. I don't know if you recall the extra scenes, but one of them was one where, well, of course, there was the whole, first there was the scene where they come upon a French plantation. And there's all these guys that are like, they come out of nowhere. There's like it looks like a totally, a ruined villa on the river. And then all of a sudden there's just like guys everywhere with machine guns. And turns out they're French. And so the soldiers, Willard, played by Martin Sheen, and the other guys there, even Lawrence Fishburne, a young 17-year-old Lawrence Fishburne, you know, what's his name, Morpheus from The Matrix. But so they get off the boat. Never get off the boat, no. They get off the boat, and they have dinner with the French nationals. And what is this family who've been right there at that spot for like 80-something years, almost a whole century. And they've got like their whole ethnic identity woven into this Vietnamese area where, you know, they're surrounded by the Viet Cong and they're like the white people that shouldn't be there really, you know, but they won't go. And it's such an amazing scene. And the fact that they removed the scene from the movie, I think, is so telling for a couple reasons. Number one, it really has a character of like imperialism about it. It's so very imperialistic, the way that their stance is. They're, you know, they keep trying to play like the noble oblige, you know, like the obligation of the nobleman. Oh, we were always here just to help, you know what I mean? Like we tried to help these people, and how come they can't seem to understand that we're just here to help ourselves to all their resources? I mean, help them, right? You know, help them, yeah. But so at one point, I don't know if you know the scene I'm talking about, Vinny?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So the point I'm trying to bring up to, I'm leading up to, is the point where the old patriarch of the household turns at one point and kind of like gets everybody's attention. And the whole film now focuses on this old guy. And he says, you know, way back in 1945. No, he goes, yeah, he goes, America. Huh. He's like, that's how he begins his commentary. You're like, America. Huh. Yeah, Americans. Back in 1945, you know, Roosevelt, after World War II, he decided he wanted to get rid of us, the French. He wanted to drive the French out. And, you know, as a little aside to everybody listening, my own research shows that, you know, the United States government did, in fact, sell all the surplus weapons they had, all the arms that weren't, you know, valuable to them, all the beat-up second-string arms they had on the docks in Okinawa, Japan, after World War II. They sold them all to Ho Chi Minh. And the old guy says in this thing, he says, America created the Viet Cong in 1945 to drive the French out of Vietnam. And Martin Sheen's character, Willard, you know, he like turns to the other guy and he's like, what the hell is he talking about? And the other guy's like, oh yeah, it's true. America created the Viet Cong. And, you know, like, it just sort of goes, we just move along in the scene to the opium smoking and gratuitous sex scene afterwards, you know. But wow, what, you know, it's just, that movie came out in 1979. That's 4 years after the fall of Saigon. And, you know, personally, I know, I grew up with the Apocalypse Now version that is not this version. 44 minutes cut out. It's the commercial version I think most people in America probably grew up with. And this version of the movie, this Redux, it portrays – it's a better movie, frankly. It's a completely different movie, and it's way better than the movie I grew up with. And one of the reasons is because it's more honest. They're telling that part right there. The fact that they cut that scene out is so deplorable to me and so telling of the real state of things. Our entire reality has been contrived. It's been sculpted and crafted to meet a certain specific paradigm, and this is it. You know, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys, we don't do things like that, only they do. You know, when I was a kid, only the Russians were the torturers. The Cubans and the Russians and all the other, you know, evil dark-haired people with beards, they were only the ones that tortured. It was never, you know, the Americans, they were the good guys, right? Well, you know, that's just not the case. And, like, I worked for a guy one time who, he worked for Army Corps of Engineers during Vietnam in the 60s. And he was in places that he, you know, officially wasn't in, like Laos and Cambodia. His job was to build airstrips for Air America. And that was basically a front for the CIA. And he saw a whole bunch of stuff. And he also had cancer, that guy. He had cancer when I knew him. He already had cancer. He told me the most accurate movie. I thought this was outrageous when he told me. It blew my mind. And I didn't realize till years later that he was right. I mean, I didn't realize how true he was until years later. But he told me the most accurate movie depicting Vietnam War was the movie called Air America with friggin' Mel Gibson and Robert Downey Jr. It was a comedy about those pilots who were flying those missions. But in that movie, I watched it again years later, they show scenes where they're stuffing heroin and opium into the body bags of the American soldiers and then shipping them back to America. That was the big point of that movie. That was the big secret of that movie. And in the movie, all the generals of South Vietnam were all opium warlords. And this guy told me that that was true. He said all the generals of Vietnam were all opium warlords. It was all about opium the whole time. And it was the who was going to control the poppy, you know. And, of course, we know historically that the CIA took a bunch of opiums from there and brought them to Colombia, you know, and from other places, too, and brought them to Colombia. But and then if you flash forward a little bit further into the modern era, or more modern than the 60s, you know, for when I was a young man, I knew another guy whose son was in the Air Force during these modern war conflicts. He was an airborne ranger, and he told his father a story about the same thing, that they were smuggling opium back from Afghanistan in body bags to America, and the Army was doing it. And he said that him and his buddies were talking about it one time, and three of the guys he was talking to all died in some kind of plane accident very shortly after that conversation. And then he himself had an attempt on his life, and after that ended up leaving the Army AWOL because of the, you know, fear, and a whole big dramatic experience that occurred. But anyways, the point is that there's something to all this stuff, you know. I mean, it doesn't take very much looking. You can just throw a rock and hit a pile of research that has indicated that there's far more going on with our armed forces than what we've been led to believe. And it's, you know, obviously, well, that's very clear.
That's why the first casualty of war is the truth. You cannot fight a war without killing the truth first.
Oh yeah, the truth is the first casualty of war, absolutely. Before we wrap it up, though, I wanted to also bring up, have you heard about this new show, Revolution, Vinny?
No.
Oh, you haven't even heard about it?
I don't hear about a lot of stuff until the person comes on my show, bro.
Well, there's a new show on NBC called Revolution. Here's the breakdown. There's been a total power grid failure in America. I don't know if it's the whole world, but at least America, right? And it must be the whole world, but it's 15 years later, and there's a militia led by this guy that all in America, there's a government called the Republic of Monroe, and the militia like brands guys with the M on their flesh, and basically it's like Postman meets Highlander meets Red Dawn. Seriously. They even had a cameo of C. Thomas Howell wielding a sword in like the first 5 minutes of the second episode, you know what I'm saying? But the guy, the lead character's name is Miles Matheson, which Richard Matheson's the guy who wrote I Am Legend and the original Omega Man with Charlton Heston. He also wrote Nightmare on 20,000 Feet and What Dreams May Come. So it's like post-apocalyptic, and they're using Matheson. I can't help but think there's a little connection there. And the name Revolution, when they go to commercial break, it blanks out the R and it says Evolution, and then it says Revolution, and then the I or the O is the power symbol, like an electronic device. The O for Revolution is the power symbol. So like, and that flickers on and off like a symbol of power, you know, focus on the power symbol, you know, and the whole false sense of scarcity, you know, energy scarcity and shortage and all that. And then there's like all these strange things, you know, just the way that the commercials they have during it. And then in it's definitely something to, it'd be interesting to see the breakdown by somebody like Freeman or one of the other guys that does the real intense research of all the symbols there, because it seems chock full of it to me. You know what I mean? I recommend that.
Everything is. And this is there's no creativity left in Hollywood. Okay. And if you think there is, I got two words for you. Rocky Six.
Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Okay. They have lost every bit of credibility and creativity that had ever existed. Okay, they don't take risks, they go by a formula. Now, I have come to the conclusion that, well, basically, I can't tell the difference between the fiction that they're putting on the movie screen anymore from the fiction they tell me on the news. I don't know what's real anymore, because it's all fiction, isn't it? And it makes me confused about what the truth really is about anything. You know, I this is why I've kind of come to the point where sort of accepted that I'll never know everything. And my whole idea behind living my life or being a good person or anything of that nature, basically, it doesn't exist. That's a fraud too. The best answer I can come up with for most things in this world is, I don't know. And those are my three favorite words, basically, because you can always fall back on them, because we freaking don't. And my three most hated words, on the other hand, which would be the one that would not cause you to question or cause you to go out, there's three words I hate hearing. I don't care. I think we better start caring. We better start looking. We better start listening. We better start questioning. Because I think if you don't question the nature of your reality, then you've got no sense of the possible, and then you've got no alternative to the lie. Right, Freder, I think this has been a very stellar show right here, the Dark Occulted Mysticism Show with Vinny Eastwood and Freder Rex. Thanks, bro.
Hey, thank you. And that was a great sentiment there at the end. I think that was a great way to end it. That's a good thing to leave people thinking about.